إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, I want to remind myself and you of one of the most important matters of life, if not the most important matter of life, which is the criteria by which we judge ourselves. And I don't mean the kind of judging as in judgment on other people, or of judging people and saying, how is this person, how is that person. I mean the judging of what is good and bad for us, what is worthwhile, what is not worthwhile, what we should strive for. Because without that ability to judge, you would be insane. The reason I'm saying that is because today we, this is one of the insidious effects of the materialistic world that we live in, that it has changed our criteria of judgment. And this criteria of judgment is very important for us to understand, because as I have mentioned many times before, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Makkah, when he was when he got Nubuwat, and if you ask me what is the single thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed in the people, what was the one single thing which he changed, then you have to say, I have to say that it is the criteria of judgment. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought Islam, and with Islam he brought a criteria of judgment which was the focus from dunya to akhirah. And with that criteria of judgment, the way I like to put it, I say that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed the definition of high net worth individual, HNI. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed the definition of high net worth individual from Abu Lahab to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. That is the single point of who is a high net worth individual. Today, if you ask anyone in the banking world and so forth, or investment world, a high net worth individual is the one who has more money. And if you say to that person, no, but this person got money through means which are not fair, this person got money through bribery, through corruption, maybe through fraud, and this person got, people say, the banker will say, you are not interested in all that. An HNI, high net worth individual, is a person who has money. I mean, how he got his money, whether it was legal, illegal, moral, immoral, that's not our lookout. As far as we are concerned, as far as we or I as a banker am concerned, I am only concerned in terms of that person's net worth. And that's why we like to even express this when we talk about people. We say Bill Gates is worth so much. Warren Buffett is worth so much. Right? Ambani is worth so much. Now, really, I think people should take offense to this. Bill Gates should issue a statement saying that I do not wish to be insulted. So, do not say that I am worth, you know, 30 billion or 40 billion or whatever the devil that is. Because I am not worth that. I am worth the effort and the genius that it takes to create a global organization, which is a byword on the tongue of practically anyone who has any, who is literate. That is my worth. My worth as Bill Gates is the value of creating an organization like that. My worth is the value of creating a operation system which is practically, literally, one can almost say that it's in the house of anyone who has a computer. Even the people who have Macs will have some, you know, version of Microsoft in it. That is the value. I mean, it's not in terms of, you know, how many dollars. So the point is that, but that's not how we express it. Similarly, if you take, for example, the advertisements, again, completely mindless, senseless advertising that comes every year at the time of placements of the top institutes of the country and of the world, right? So the IIM, the Indian Institutes of Management, you know, the IITs and so on, we have this thing we're saying that so and so IIT Madras is the best engineering institute in the country because the student got a job for so much. IIM Ahmedabad is the best management school in the country because the so-and-so student was hired for 1.5 crores. So the person got a job for 150 million per year. That's his worth. Now think about that. Here is a person. If you ask, and I always ask this question. I ask this question that, okay, so this guy got hired, and usually it's all investment banks who do it. I say this person got hired straight out of business school. He gets a job of 15 million, not 150, of 15 million per annum. Does his professor get 15 million an annum? Is that his professor's salary? Which is obviously not. Obviously not. One would wish that, but you know that is. So then that means the professor is worth less than the student. So what is the sense of advertising? You're advertising the worth of your college in terms of how much salary a student can command. Makes zero sense. I mean, it makes absolute, but it makes today. That's why I'm saying we need to re-examine and we need to rethink our criteria. What are our criteria of judgment? Today, our criteria of judgment of worth of somebody seems to be the amount of noise they can make. Noise not as in, noise also as in screaming and shouting and raving and ranting. I mean, that also is a part of noise. But also noise in terms of, you know, we are told, you are your clothes, right? Your brand, your shirt is your brand. The car you drive is your brand. You know, the kind of shoes you wear is your brand. My brand is a shoe. Then I should wear the shoe on my head and walk with the shoe in front of my face because that is my brand. And if you come to shake my hand, I must give you my shoe because this is my brand. Now think about this. I mean, this is so insane. But this is what we are being asked to believe. So therefore, our whole energy and focus goes. And if you see how the children are a reflection of their parents, if you see how many children are of parents and not necessarily affluent parents, because this is one of the downsides, one of the curses of the media, that even without the affluence, you still have the desires. In the old days, the one who had the money had the desire. Today, the one who has no money still has the desire. And that's why you have the problem. So here, the thing here is that you have children who will say, no, I don't want this particular, I want this particular brand. He doesn't want a shirt. He doesn't want a pair of sneakers. He wants a Nike Air sneaker. Why do you want a Nike Air sneaker? What's so great about a Nike Air sneaker? I was in America recently. I was looking for a pair of sneakers. I bought an excellent, absolutely fantastic pair of sneakers for $20. 20. I'm perfectly happy with it. I'm absolutely wonderfully happy with it. If somebody wants me to walk around with $20 written on the shoe so that they know how much it costs, I'll be very happy to do that. But I'm saying my shoe does not reflect who I am. If instead of a $20 shoe, if I was wearing a $200 shoe, I would not be any different. I would be just as, you know, whatever I am. If I'm good, I'm good. I'm still good. If I'm not good, I'm still not good. A $200 shoe does not make me 10 times better than what I am today because I'm wearing a shoe which is 10 times more. It's still a shoe. At $200, it doesn't become my shirt, it doesn't become my topi. I still have to put it outside the masjid and I have to worry about what happens to it even more than I worry with a $20 shoe. So this is the issue of noise. So the issue of noise is, now why do we have the issue of noise? The issue of noise is, you know, if we just think about our own languages. In English, there is a famous proverb which I'm sure every one of us has heard, which is empty vessels make the most noise. So empty vessels make the most. What does it mean? It means that the noise is made by the one who doesn't have substance. Take two words, bark and yap. Both of them refer to dogs. Right? A yapping dog is what? It means there's a dog without respect. A dog without izzah, at least yapping dogs are small dogs. Small dogs make the most noise. Noise is a function of fear. It comes out of insecurity. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah said, the lion does not respond to the barking of dogs. So lion doesn't have to respond. A lion's presence is enough. A lion's presence is enough. And I'm using example of dogs because, you know, many people have dogs. And if you see, if you have a great day or a Rottweiler, he makes no noise. I mean, his presence is enough. But if you have a Pomeranian or a Dachshund, then he'll keep on, you know, yapping the whole time because he is afraid. He is frightened for himself. He's not trying to frighten you. He thinks that if he makes enough noise, it will boost up his own ego. So noise in any form, whether it is in terms of your clothes, whether it's in terms of how you spend your money, in terms of ostentation. Why do we have ostentation marriages? Because it's a sign of insecurity. Somewhere you feel you are insignificant, and if you don't show off your money, people will have no respect for you. You forget that people have no respect for you because you show off your money. It's the opposite. People say, why does he have to show off all this? For whom is he doing it? Noise is a sign of lack of depth. And it so happened this morning, somebody sent me this beautiful share, which I want to share with you. It's a share by the shair called Natiq Lakhnavi. And Natiq Lakhnavi says, कह रहा है शोर दरिया से समंदर का सुकूत कह रहा है शोर दरिया से समंदर का सुकूत जिसका जितना ज़र्फ़ है उतना ही वो खामोश है जिसका जितना ज़र्फ़ है उतना ही वो खामोश है एंड फॉर दोज ऑफ आवर लिसनर्स हु डू नॉट अंडरस्टैंड द लैंग्वेज लेट मी डिस्ट्रॉय दिस कपलेट बाय ट्रांसलेटिंग इट बट दैट्स द प्राइस यू पे फॉर नॉट अंडरस्टैंडिंग द लैंग्वेज It says, the English translation, the silence of the ocean is saying to the noise of the river, the greater the depth, the greater the silence. I don't think that's a great translation, but as I said, if you don't understand the language, that's the price you pay for the for the translation. So seriously, we need to examine ourselves and say, what are my criteria of judgment? On what basis do I judge myself, and on what basis do I judge others, and what is it that I am striving for? I still remember one of my mentors, Mohini Rajan, she introduced me to the person who taught me Urdu, and his name was Rai Mahbub Narayan. And the first time she introduced me to Rai Sahib, she told me before he came, she said, do not go by his clothes. Do not go by the fact that he will come here in an auto rickshaw. He is a great scholar of Urdu and Farsi, and he is a person of great worth. And I still remember that. And this is a memory which is probably about 45 years old. I still remember exactly. I can see in my mind's eye that entire scene when I went down the stairs to make salam and greet Rai Mahbub Narayan Sahib. Seriously, the issue is, what do you teach your children? What you teach yourself. Your children are a reflection of you. If you have no depth, if you have no zarf, then your children will have no zarf. And if the whole focus of our life is material, 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 showing off, then where is the place for knowledge? Where is the place for reflection? Where is the place for ta'alluq ma'allah? Where is the place for izzah, for manners, for adab? Where is the place for any of this? Today the reason we have no adab is because we have no value and respect for age. We have no value and respect for knowledge. Even including, for example, the today there is this great, I call it this false focus, because the people who ask this question really do not even have the capacity to understand the answer. Many people, if you talk to them about Islam, you tell them some you know, story from the seerah or some issue, then almost immediately they will tell you what is the authentic dalil for this. There is a statement there. What is the authentic dalil for this? And now my point is, what is the meaning of authentic dalil? If it's a dalil, it is authentic. If it's not a dalil, if it's not authentic, it's not a dalil. What's an authentic dalil? The statement authentic dalil shows that you are an oxymoron, because you know you don't know what you're saying. What is an authentic dalil? Number one. Number two, at least I was brought up at a time when if your ustad told you something, that was dalil in itself. My point is, why is the word of your ustad not good enough for you? That means you have no respect for your ustad. So if the ustad is telling you something, you are asking the ustad for a dalil. Now I am saying, if you think your ustad is not doesn't receive wahi, your ustad is not the nabi, so I am not saying take the ustad's word always. If you have a doubt, adab is you go and do your own research. You go and find out. You don't ask your ustad, you don't ask your father, you don't ask your mother, what is the dalil for this thing? Go do your homework. Go do some donkey work on your own. Don't ask the ustad what is the authentic dalil. It shows that you are an idiot. I mean, you have no brains, you have no adab, you have no sense, you have no adab to ask people what they have to ask you. And in many cases, if somebody asks me a question with respect to a masala of fiqh, and if I actually give him an answer from in the language of the Sharia, he won't understand it. He will not understand that answer. So why do you ask me the question? Because you, to understand the answer, you have to have some knowledge. Now you don't have that knowledge. Somebody, you got this from somewhere. Ask for authentic dalil. The guy is indeed nonsensical. What is an authentic dalil? So if you say authentic, so you ask authentic. Now if I give you the actual dalil, you have no means of understanding because you don't understand the language. You don't understand the technical language. You don't understand the actual language. So what do we? So where do we go from there? And all of this is because noise, the value of noise. And I invite myself and you, therefore, that noise has no value. Noise is the yapping of dogs. Noise has no value. Whether you are screaming and raving and ranting because you don't like something, or whether your clothes are raving and ranting, or your car is raving and ranting, and your lifestyle is raving and ranting, it's the same. It's the barking, the yapping of dogs. We need to develop zarf, we need to develop depth, we need to develop substance. And that is what the religion teaches us. This is what Rasulullah ﷺ came to teach us, that it is the zarf of the individual. Gandhiji's dhoti made more impact than $1 million suit. Gandhiji went to meet George V in London when he was, you know, going to meet the king. One of the those days no media, but the newspaper guys, he asked him. Gandhiji went in his normal, you know, dhoti and thing. So the media guy asked him. He said, "Aren't you embarrassed to meet the king with so little on, meaning so few clothes on?" Gandhiji said, "The king is wearing enough clothes for both of us." So. It shows the confidence of the man. I'm not suggesting to you that we should walk around in a dhoti if we don't want to. But the point is, see the confidence of the man, that he says, "This is me. This is me. I am an ordinary Indian. And this is the dress of an ordinary Indian. And you, as the King of England, it's yours. You called me. I came to meet you. I don't care. You don't like my clothes. No problem. Don't like them. Who cares?" That is the confidence of the person. No noise. There's depth, there is substance. And that is what I remind myself and you. Let us try to rethink our priorities. What is it that we are running behind? What is it that we are trying to chase the whole time? Where we, instead of having a life which has substance, which has value, our lives are full of stress because we are running behind things and we are trying to get things which have intrinsically, they have no value. And your whole life goes in that stress of trying to, "I must make so much money, because without that money I can't make so much of noise," and it's the yapping of dogs. So seriously, let us rethink our priorities and let us put our money and focus where it has value. And that is with ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It begins with that, with ta'alluq ma Allah. Focus on that, focus on yourself, focus on cleaning the heart, focus on removing kibr from the heart, humility. This is what has true value, and this is the difference between Abu Jahl and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And this is what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to teach us. The true net worth of the person is the depth of character of the individual. It's not how much money he has in his pocket or how much money he wants to show off with. It is the depth of character of the person. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to see and learn what is good for us and to save us from that which is not. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.